From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. As he continues these studies in the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns now comes to chapter 9, as he begins a message entitled, The Purpose of Grace and a Passion for Souls. In his introductory remarks, Dr. Cairns will comment on some of the controversy that has arisen concerning chapters 9 through 11. Some would say that these chapters are extraneous to Paul's teachings in the rest of the book, while others would vehemently reject what he says here altogether. As Dr. Cairns will declare, these passages are what God has said, and it is for men to accept and believe them as such. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, we invite you to enjoy this brief devotional thought from Morning and Evening, a collection from the pen of the great 19th century English preacher Charles Haddon Spurgeon.
This morning's text is found in Psalm 103 and verse 2. Forget not all his benefits. It is a delightful and profitable occupation to mark the hand of God in the lives of ancient saints, and to observe his goodness in delivering them, his mercy in pardoning them, and his faithfulness in keeping his covenant with them. But would it not be even more interesting and profitable for us to remark the hand of God in our own lives? Ought we not to look upon our own history as being at least as full of God, as full of his goodness and of his truth, as much a proof of his faithfulness and veracity as the lives of any of the saints who have gone before? We do our Lord an injustice when we suppose that he wrought all his mighty acts and showed himself strong for those in the early time, but does not perform wonders or lay bare his arm for the saints who are now upon the earth. Let us review our own lives. Surely in these we may discover some happy incidents, refreshing to ourselves and glorifying to our God. Have you had no deliverances? Have you passed through no rivers supported by the divine presence? Have you walked through no fires unharmed? Have you had no manifestations? Have you had no choice favors? The God who gave Solomon the desire of his heart, hath he never listened to you and answered your requests? That God of lavish bounty of whom David sang, Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, has he never satiated you with fatness? Have you never been made to lie down in green pastures? Have you never been led by the still waters? Surely the goodness of God has been the same to us as to the saints of old. Let us then weave his mercies into a song. Let us take the pure gold of thankfulness and the jewels of praise and make them into another crown for the head of Jesus. Let our souls give forth music as sweet and as exhilarating as came from David's harp, while we praise the Lord whose mercy endureth forever.
Climb to his abode. As you listen to today's broadcast, we'd like to express our appreciation to those of you who make Let the Bible Speak a regular part of your day. Over the years since LTBS has been on the air, we've heard from many folk who have been blessed and encouraged in their Christian lives through these programs. We thank the Lord for the opportunity to bring this Christ-centered preaching and God-honoring sacred music into your home, vehicle, or workplace. Let the Bible Speak is a ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. Founded by Dr. Alan Cairns, whose messages you hear on the broadcast, Let the Bible Speak is also heard in many parts of the world through the international radio outreach of Let the Bible Speak, which is produced in Northern Ireland. It may be that you have wondered about the origin and purpose of the Free Presbyterian Church. Stated briefly, the Free Presbyterian Church is a denomination that stands without apology for the absolute inerrancy of the Bible, emphasizing preaching that centers around the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and is militant in its stand against the ecumenical apostasy and the efforts of the world to infiltrate the church. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, please contact Faith Free Presbyterian Church at their toll-free number 1-888-483-2408. That's 1-888-483-2408. Or you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Someone from the church will be glad to get in touch with you and to provide you with further details. Also, we encourage you to visit the website of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America at www.fpcna.org. Again, that's www.fpcna.org.
I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ, for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises. Whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to the reading of his word for his name's sake. Quite obviously, Romans 9 commences a new section of the epistle, a section that runs through to the end of chapter 11. Now, Romans 9, 10, and 11 form a profound passage in the Word of God, a passage that taxes the mind, the heart, and the conscience of every serious reader of Scripture. It's therefore not surprising that this passage of Scripture has engendered deep disagreements among commentators. I have to say that many of those disagreements are plainly the result of personal prejudice, people coming to the Bible with their mind made up of what they permit God to say and what they don't permit him to say. And part of the problem that people run into in this passage is that God says something they certainly do not expect him to say. And therefore there are many so-called commentators in Romans who just simply will not allow the Apostle Paul to mean what he says. I dismiss that type of disagreement as unworthy of our consideration. When we come to God's Word, we come to hear what the Bible says. We come to submit our minds and our wills to what God has to say. We are disciples. We are learners. We are here, as we heard in the opening prayer, to have our eyes and our ears open to the infallible truth of the eternal God. However, having said all that, there are matters of grave importance upon which good men take very differing views. When you come to this passage, the very first question that has to be resolved concerns why it is written at all, and why it is written where it is written. In other words, we've got to understand its place in relation to the rest of the book, and especially in relation to what goes immediately before it. There are many people who come and they say it's just a parenthesis. There are some, like E.W. Bullinger, one of the leading and best ever dispensationalist scholars. E.W. Bullinger says that in the earlier chapters of Romans, Paul is dealing with the subject of the salvation of Jews and Gentiles individually, whereas in Romans 9, 10, and 11, he's dealing with the salvation of Jews and Gentiles dispensationally. Now, Bullinger could no doubt tell you what he means by that, but I would suggest that what he means is far from scriptural. The trouble for his theory is that when you get to Romans 11, it dramatically overthrows the dispensationalist notion that Israel and the church are eternally segregated. You can never arrive at that notion from Romans 11, as I'll try to show when we ultimately get there in the will of God. The great Martin Lloyd-Jones, perhaps the best of modern preachers on the book of Romans, as in many other things, Lloyd-Jones held that this forms a sort of a postscript to the epistle, that the epistle, as to its doctrinal content, really ends at the end of chapter 8. And you could jump from the end of chapter 8 right to the beginning of chapter 12. This is just a postscript to the doctrinal section. Many others say it's no more than an appendix to the book. There are other theories that are not worth mentioning tonight, but certainly there is this problem of the relationship that this section holds to the rest of the epistle. There are people, of course, who take a view that's so different from all that I have mentioned. I think of one scholar, and I think that there is something to be said for this. He says that this, far from being a postscript or an appendix or an afterthought or a parenthesis, this actually is the climax of the whole book. And that everything that Paul has written has been preparatory to this, and that this is a profound exposition, therefore, of everything that Paul has been saying in the chapters that precede. You can see from the difference of opinion that we have got a question, therefore, to answer. Now, I'm going to cut through all the argumentation and simply say this, that it's of the utmost importance, if you're studying the book of Romans, to see this section as an integral part of the whole book and a necessary part of this epistle. In other words, it is not a postscript that we could in some ways do without. It is not an appendix. It is of the very heart of the epistle, and it is a necessary part of the epistle. Most people take Romans 9, 10, and 11 to be a great treatise on predestination and election. And you're going to find that it has some things to say about that that may shock you. This is why so many people come to it and they will not allow God to say what he says. But perhaps I will shock you when I say it is not really a treatise on predestination and election at all. Oh, it deals with those subjects, but only as they relate to a different subject. Paul's subject here is what is called by theologians and Bible commentators a theodicy. A theodicy is a justification of God. And Paul is setting out to justify God's dealings with men, Jews and Gentiles. And he's setting out particularly to justify God's rejection of Judaism and the consequent cutting off of most of the Jewish race from saving grace. And then he's setting out to justify God's calling of the Gentiles into the place of the Jews, into the covenant people of God, which the New Testament calls the Church of Jesus Christ. So the big subject is, when God is criticized, or Paul's teaching about God is criticized on various levels and in various ways for how he treats the Jews and the Gentiles, when that happens, Paul takes up his pen to write. Now, this isn't the first time in Romans that he has mentioned God's dealings with Jews and Gentiles. You remember the key note of the whole book is Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. But verse 16 says plainly, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek or to the Gentile. In Romans chapter 2, when he's dealing particularly with the subject of judgment according to the gospel, he says again, it's the Jew first, and then it is the Gentile. In chapter 3 of Romans, Paul deals with the advantages enjoyed historically by the Jewish people, but he finishes that chapter with a ringing declaration of justification for both Jews and Gentiles by faith alone in Jesus Christ, totally apart from the works of the law. You remember that great passage, Romans 3:28-31, one of the most important doctrinal statements in the Bible. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Now, the Jews would have said yes. Anybody else who wants to be rightly related to God must become a Jew, because salvation is of the Jews, and God is the God of the Jews. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also, seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. Charlie ends chapter 3. He goes right into chapter 4 and he continues this theme by declaring that God's covenant with Abraham is a covenant of grace that includes both Jews and Gentiles. A covenant that is to be received by faith alone and is not conditioned on legal works or legal ceremonies. So this isn't the first time, therefore, Paul has been dealing with God's dealings with Jews and Gentiles in this matter of salvation. But all the statements I have mentioned still leave a lot that needed to be explained. Paul couldn't leave the matter there, and hence this section 9, 10, and 11. He couldn't do anything less than write this. Because what Paul had written in the earlier part of this epistle raised questions for every honest Jew that he had to have answers to. Leon Morris, who's a leading scholarly commentator on the book of Romans, Leon Morris put it, I think, very clearly. He said this, for his doctrine of justification and sanctification, Paul has consistently appealed to the Old Testament as sacred scripture. And in that scripture that Paul has been citing as the Word of God, the Jews appear as God's chosen people. How can he establish a system of salvation for the Gentiles on the basis of the scripture that gives a special place to the Jews? If the place of the Jews as set forth in the Old Testament does not agree with the justification that Paul sees in the Old Testament, then his position can scarcely stand. His whole argument demands an examination of the Jewish question. Let me try to put it and frame it in a slightly different way, because I think this will show you the most pressing reason of all why Paul really had to write this. Turn with me to Romans 8 and let's see how that chapter ends. From verse 28 to verse 39 in Romans chapter 8, Paul is bringing his great exposition of justification by grace alone, through faith alone, in the merits of Christ alone. He's bringing that to a great conclusion. And he's ending it on a note of assurance. Verse 28 to 39 of Romans 8 is the classic passage of the Word of God on the subject of the foundation of Christian assurance.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we let the Bible speak.